region in recent past has become hotbed of militancy.
Hi, I'm Grishma Kuttar, and this is Voices from the Lockdown, a First Post podcast. The Indian government announced on August 5th that Article 370 and Article 35A will stand revoked as on October 31st. By then, more than 1.5 lakh troops had been moved into Kashmir. The valley witnessed a complete shutdown in the weeks to follow. On October 31st, the state of Jammu and Kashmir lost its special status and was converted into two union territories, Ladakh and Jammu Kashmir. It has been close to 4 weeks since this happened. Starting from today, we'll be taking a closer look at where things stand in every district of Kashmir. In today's episode, we will be speaking to Kashmiri journalist Kesar Andrabi, who has traveled across South Kashmir after Jammu and Kashmir ceased to be a state. So Kesar, can you like give us a brief description of the districts of South Kashmir?
Yeah. In South Kashmir, there are 4 main districts, Anantnag, Kulgam, Shopian, and Pulwama. And these 4 districts having a good number of forest areas around and dense by apple orchards. This region in recent past has become hotbed of militancy. After 2014, the area slowly became a breeding ground for militancy. And in this region, after Burhan Wani's killing in 2016, a high number of civilians were killed in different protests. So the area is very pro-separatist. They are supporting the separatist ideology more than they are into the mainstream politics.
So, out of the 4 districts, Kesar, which of the districts are central to operations of militant organizations? Is there any one district where, or one region where militancy or militant operation is very high?
All these 4 districts have a good number of militant presence for the last 5 years.
Okay.
In these main 4 districts, there are 2 districts, Shopian and Kulgam, that are more centric to militancy, and people and mostly youngsters in these 2 districts are going towards militancy.
Okay.
And there is the reason behind, because both of these districts have witnessed a large number of civilian casualties, killings after Burhan Wani's killing in 2016. So that became the reason for people and act as an anger among them, and they later preferred to pick up arms.
Yeah, if you look at the statistics of killings in 2018, out of the 270 deaths which have happened of militants in the region, almost 80% of them are from South Kashmir. So, Kesar, tell us, while you were traveling through South Kashmir, through these districts, what are young people saying? There has been a lot of talk regarding how militancy is going to increase in the valley after the August 5th decision. Amit Shah mentioned in the parliament the other day that none of that is going to happen. Kashmir is peaceful. Is that correct? Are things in South Kashmir normal? What exactly is the situation?
It will be only seen. Amit Shah's claim, the central government's claim, will be only seen. But there are right now the narrative, the kind of mindset people of Southern Kashmir is having. That is, during my visit, when I visit both of these 4 districts, the most common thought among youngsters was militancy by divine. They were saying in Kashmiri, which means that militancy is now going to raise in this part. When I tried to get the answers of their opinion, they told me 2-3 reasons. One, they expressed that as a Muslims, we should not live our lives under a Hindu ruler.
Okay, so they think that this decision is connected more with religion.
Yeah, that is connected with more religion. And they said, who are ruling us right now? That is the BJP party. So we have to raise our struggle against the state. One more thing, they were believing they are attacking on our religious duties, like in this clampdown, in many districts, the Friday prayers. So this has also triggered and kind of anger among them that now this was not only about special steps, this is about attacking on religious duties. This is a direct attack on our religion.
Okay. So is that one of the reasons why you think that the youth want to take to militancy? Because they view this as...
This could be one of the reasons, but there are two, three narratives still. Many people are saying that after August 5, forces started, they started making nocturnal raids, and in those raids, they have arrested some youth. They have slapped PSA on them, and this kind of action from the forces is triggering more anger among youngsters. And many share that this is the reason why we are picking up arms.
Let me just interrupt you there. You mentioned that there were detentions after August 5th. Are there incidents of violence, other incidents of raids which have led to minors being picked up? Did you come across such cases while you were traveling in South Kashmir?
Yeah, such kind of cases were widely reported in media where they claim that in these areas, in southern Kashmir, in Hef Shopian, in Sugan area of Shopian district, where from Hizbul Mujahideen militant Naveed is active right now, he's very popular militant in his village, and in Pulwama district also, there were nocturnal raids, there were cases of torture and extra.
Okay. So, is this still ongoing? What is happening now? It's been almost 3 months after August 5th, right? What is the situation now like?
Yeah, during my visit to these districts, there was little improvement in the situation. People were partially open their shops and were engaging in their business. And as apple season was near, so people were first trying to save their highest mean of economy during this time. So there were a bit relaxation and calm situation in four districts.
While Kesar mentions apple trade, it is important for us to note that the killing of non-local truckers and workers happened in South Kashmir, which also led to stoppage of trucks and the functioning of these mandis from where the apples are ferried, which means that it affected trade. Am I right, Kesar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That has affected the trade.
Yeah.
So, but there was an anger among youngsters, and many among them raised many questions about central government's policies for the people of Kashmir. And they mentioned about torture, they mentioned about night raids, they mentioned there was a guy, Tanzil Ahmed Dar of Tahab area of Pulwama district. He said in their village, after abrogation of Article 370, young boys were throwing stones on forces and protesting against the move. But later one night, forces came and started arresting boys and beat up some ruthlessly. They said, "Hamare mujahid bhai isiliye gun uthate hai." They mentioned this word. That is why militants are picking up arms.
On that note, let me play back the interview of Rafika Bhanu, the mother of Zahid, who is an active militant for the Jaish-e-Mohammed. He belongs to Karimabad village of Pulwama.
Age kya thi unki?
25 to 30. Hmm. BSc.
He was 25 years old and was pursuing BSc from Pulwama Degree College. He was picked up by Special Task Force from his uncle's shop in Pulwama and was later tortured. He was in their custody for 18 days, and when we visited him, his clothes were soaked in blood. He was picked up for no reason. We paid them rupees 35,000 to secure his release. After this, he resumed work with his uncle. But he regularly received calls from Maqbool Daga, an officer with the STF, asking him to surrender or accept that he's a militant. After facing this for months, Zahid disappeared one day. We later found out that he had joined militants. Till this incident happened, he was a good son. He would listen to me and did whatever I told him. He hardly travelled or did anything other than family-related work. He has left behind a good life and left all of us. All of this has happened because of the torture he faced. He was very different before that.
That was Rafika speaking about why she thinks her son picked up arms and how she feels about this decision of his. Basically, helplessness is what we can sense. But this has pretty much been the situation in South Kashmir for years now,
where we have seen a considerable spurt of militancy. In fact, militancy shifted from North Kashmir completely to South Kashmir to a large extent. Correct me if I'm wrong, Kesar, but do you see this situation continuing? Will militancy continue to grow in South Kashmir?
Yeah, there's an interesting thing. I spoke to many other youth in Zahid's village.
Okay.
And asked them how you see the future of militancy in Kashmir.
Okay.
There were multiple narratives. Many are believing that this cycle will not end unless we will be given our basic rights. And some believe that it will be more difficult for a militant now to survive too long because the kind of policies India showed after August 5 towards militants' families and towards youth, it shows that this has somehow created an anger among other people. There's a feeling of revenge in people, especially gun people. Now, that feeling eventually leads, I guess, many youth to take more violent path. Notably, in past, we have seen young militants, they have background of repressions, torture, all or jail period.
Okay.
And it will not be surprising if someone of the militant in future will have background of being in jail in this period of time, like after August 5.
So basically what you're saying is that the events and incidents after August 5th, in the first 3 weeks of August 5th, where we saw arrests, many detentions, minors being detained, some minors being killed, these events will, or these people and their families might take to militancy. That's what you're saying.
Yes, yes. Yeah, many boys expressed that in these months, in the backdrop of communication and internet, they have witnessed a different militancy in the region. No, militants used to come openly and used to roam around into the village. And if anywhere they were observing somebody trying to break down the strike, they used to warm him publicly.
Okay. But during this time, there has also been high military deployment. So how were militants able to frequent areas of South Kashmir if there was also so much of military deployment?
There were good number of military presence in the area, but it was around the villages, near districts, on roads. It was not inside the lanes. It was not from the colony.
So basically you're saying that in spite of military presence, in spite of the communication blockout, militants were able to figure out an alternative method to be functional and operational in South Kashmir.
Yeah, it was possible. It was not they were operating freely, but their movement was, because the intelligence, human intelligence was not there. There was communication gag. And human intelligence in recent past has been seen from the locals of South Kashmir, because the local human intelligence was not present due to communication blackout. So there was least chances of sending information of presence of militants in any area to the intelligence agencies.
Right. So basically this communication blackout, though it has been put in place to avoid communication between militants or militancy. I mean, one of the reasons is that it might have also worked the other way. That is, the government or the administration couldn't keep track of their methods or their operations or what it is that they were doing in the region, right?
Although there is no major rise in militancy till now, but many in the area, they believe that they have created a network in the area, and that network will create a rise in militancy after winter.
All right, but after the 5th of August or after October 31st, are there any new methods that the police or the army or the administration has used to deal with militants?
Yes, they have started the Act, UAPA Act, which is now applicable in Kashmir also for the people. It will be considered the person who will throw stones on forces who go near encounter sites to rescue militants now will be considered to support or supporting militancy. And few days before, there's already a case in Tral area of Pulwama district ED raided an orchard's home. He was a farmer and his all property was seized. 9 canal of orchard land was seized by ED. And according to him, the farmer was supporting militancy.
Okay.
So now people will think, you know, before doing any step. So it ultimately will give a tough task for militants as well as to, you know, to find places or for shelter. Like if a militant will be found in anyone's house, the state will seize his all property.
Okay.
Or he can take some harsh action against the family. So it will also hamper their, it will also shrink their network.
We will continue to discuss South Kashmir in tomorrow's episode. But before we finish, let me play back a recorded interview with Mohammed Sultan Khan, father of Mansoor Ahmed Khan, who is an active militant at the moment. They are from the Sirur village of Pulwama district.
Even his marriage was fixed. I don't know why he joined militancy. Does anyone inform their family before they do something like this? Initially, we tried really hard to get him back, but there was no clue of his whereabouts. I'm obviously not happy with this decision. I have told everyone that he is not my son anymore. He has left us at an age where we are dependent on him. He's not a loyal son. We have so much debt on our head. Who is going to pay for it? A person should first take care of his old parents and then he should aim for such things. He left us without caring for us. Why should I support his cause?
That is all from this episode of Voices from the Lockdown. For previous episodes, visit the First Post channel on audioboom.com.